If we were following the alphabet, we would be on the letter N today, but I thought we would skip it and go right to O, because it's the Sunday of Orthodoxy, and it kind of fits. And next Sunday will be St. Gregory Palamas with a P, so we'll save N for another time. I'm just going to make some points about Sunday of Orthodoxy to fill in some blanks, or maybe you didn't even realize you had some blanks in your knowledge about this whole event. First, we associate the Sunday of Orthodoxy with the restoration of the icons, or restoration might be a hard word and you don't know that, and you just think about icons. And so many times it's just Orthodoxy, icons, that makes us different from other Christians. And it, you know, we kind of like just focus on the icons. So let me just kind of enrich your understanding about that. Back in the 8th century, in the 700s, is when there were some political and military individuals in the Eastern Roman Empire, what we call the Byzantine Empire. And they noticed, everybody noticed, everyone knew that in certain parts of the Christian world, there were abuses in the use of icons. People were overdoing it. They were scraping paint from icons and putting it into the chalice to be part of communion. Or they would have an icon be the godparent of a child or something. The teaching had not reached everyone, but the teaching was old. St. Basil, back in the 4th century, in the 300s, had articulated the church's teaching about icons, and icons were part of the church's life from the very beginning. St. Luke painted the first icon. So the correct understanding and teaching and practice was there, but like in so many things, not everybody got the message. So by the 800s, 700s and 800s, there were these abuses in some places. And we would say, like what is today Greece, or that, you know, the sort of what we call Europe, as opposed to the eastern part of the empire as we approach what today is Turkey and Iran. In that area, you know, Islam had started emerging, and Islam, you know, is kind of iconoclastic in the sense that they don't use images. So, you know, the soldiers, the Christian Roman soldiers who were in the outposts towards that area were, you know, exposed to these thoughts and trends and stuff like that, and they felt that it was sort of sophisticated as opposed to the kind of weirdnesses that were going on in other parts of the empire, like I said, that I described the abuses. It so happened that one of those military leaders ended up taking over the Eastern Roman Empire, and he became the Emperor Leo, and he brought with him his own preferences about stuff. And so this is an incident, and there are many, where the state affected the church. The church was not unaware of her teachings. The church is not unaware of the correct practice. But now someone from the government, from politics, from the military came in and was kind of forcing things on the church. So it started, as you know, the story where he decided that the icons should be placed higher in the churches so that people couldn't misuse them or whatever. He didn't completely eliminate icons, but he ordered that they be placed higher. And then, you know, one thing led to the other, and eventually the order came out to efface and remove and destroy. And then in order to kind of support his position, he had his theologians and his philosophers come up with a theology and say that, you know, in the Old Testament it says you cannot depict God. You know, God is, you do not have a graven image. And so he came out with bad theology, but anyway, and started passing it as good theology. This caused a ruckus in the church because, as I said, you know, among the people who were educated, the educated clergy, the educated people, and the pious people, you know, they said, no, this isn't our religion. Our religion has icons and the correct use of icons where we venerate, and the honor that we show the icon doesn't go to the wood and the paint and the plastic and the pixels or whatever, but it goes to the prototype of what the icon, you know, is depicting. And so it was about that time that more writers like St. John of Damascus re-articulated the teaching of the church, and you know, one of his major important works is about icons. But anyway, some of the bishops and some of the clergy sided with the emperor, and we have a period of the church, two outbreaks of what we call iconoclasm. And then the Seventh Ecumenical Council came and decided, no, here is the teaching of the church. It re-articulated the teaching of the church, and that's what we, you know, that's what we go by. But another emperor came after that and decided, no, we're going to go back to iconoclasm. So there was another outbreak of iconoclasm, and then it wasn't until the 800s when St. Theodora finally and definitively restored the icons and her son Michael. And that's what we celebrate today, is that final and definitive restoration of the icons. But what's important and enriching is to know the theology. It's not so much that we have icons, we use icons. The theology is that sin, that Christ God, the Son of God, became man, and therefore depictable, just like anybody else is depictable. Prior to becoming incarnate, prior to becoming man, the Old Testament, you know, injunction kicked in that you do not make graven images, although icons, strictly speaking, aren't graven images, but the point being that God is invisible. God cannot be depicted. But insofar as the Son of God became man, like us, he is depictable, to the point that if we refuse to depict the image of the Son of God, then we are refusing that theology. We are rejecting that theology. So now that the icon, the depictions, become an affirmation and a confession of the belief that the Son of God became man. So they are tied together. It is not only good, but necessary to depict the Son of God, and then by extension, the saints and all that. So that's the theology behind that. When you see the icons, especially of our Lord, you can say, you know, rehearse to yourself the parts of the creed that go along with that, that, you know, the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God who became man, and all that kind of stuff. And there's our sort of, you know, confirmation and affirmation of that, is that we have the picture. So much so that the church came out and said, those who refuse to depict and honor the image of the Son of God would be heretics. So that heresy was one of the iconoclast heresy, again, affected by political and military interests, also the advent of Islam, as I said, and I think instigated by some of the real misuses and bad practices that had crept in. So it was the occasion for the church to say, bad practices are wrong, bad theology is wrong, here is the teaching and the true practice of the church. And that was celebrated when they restored the icons and then commemorated all the hierarchs and all the people that were Orthodox. And our little procession after the liturgy today will be remembering that. And you'll hear then the priests declaring, you know, the confession of faith. Let's stand and pray.